Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
As the nursery rhyme goes, Garfield, Garfield, in our heart and in our car. Garfield, Garfield, with him in your soul, you will go far.
Thank you for leading us in prayer. Hi, I'm Sarah Zed. I make videos where I talk about various cultural phenomena on YouTube. I'm also in a D&D podcast called Trials and Tribuches. I enjoy long walks on the beach, blood sacrifices, and cooking.
Whoa.
And the name of the podcast is?
This is the First Podcast.
With me, your co-host, Joe. And with me, as always, I have Lars. Thank you so much for joining us today, Sarah. It's going to be an honor and a privilege to record with you today.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
And you had mentioned that you enjoy long walks on the beach, a blood sacrifice. Any particular blood sacrifice?
What is this question, Joe? What are you asking?
Let's just jump right in. What kind of sacrifice are we talking here? Chickens, cows?
All kinds, really. Like, I mean, I can dabble in the occasional child, but it's mostly been chickens thus far. You know, usually, like, a little chicken head is the perfect way to, like, bribe some professors, make sure I get good grades on my exams, brainwash people. It's been very helpful for me in my daily life. I would recommend it to anyone who's interested.
Do you practice voodoo?
On the regular.
I was watching one of your videos and somebody asked what your secret was and you had mentioned a blood sacrifice and then just moved on as if it was nothing. I do blood sacrifices. Next question.
You don't think I'm joking. That's it.
I don't think you're joking. Lars, do you think Sarah's joking?
Well, what I'm most concerned about is, like, your professors accept the chicken sacrifices?
No. I just use the magic to manipulate their minds to give me A's on everything.
Oh, I thought you were presenting these to them, and they were like, okay.
I mean, I'm sure somebody there would accept it. Like, academia is extremely weird, but that's not quite what I was going for.
Okay, yeah, Lars, okay. That was clear as day from my end.
Shut up, Joe.
All right.
Okay, so your channel, by the way, is pronounced Sarah Zed, which, just as an American, that kind of blew my mind.
Yeah, fair enough.
My question is, do you have any other, like, really cool Canada facts that we should know?
Canada facts?
Yeah. And please answer as if your life depended on it.
Okay.
Oh, always as if your life depended on it.
Yeah.
I know we have some weird laws because I used to have this old book called, like, You Can't Do That in Canada about, like, weirdly specific laws in certain areas in the country. And I know there's a law, and I believe it is somewhere in Ontario, that you can't build a snowman above a certain height, but only specifically if you're building it, like, overlooking Capitol Hill. So, I don't know why that came up or why that's a law, but there is a specific law about the height that you can build snowmen near the Parliament.
I'm actually an expert on that. So, as it turns out, I did my master's thesis on this. It's because in 1837... there was a snowman built that was 10 miles high and it eclipsed Parliament and they were not able to get any work done because they were by candlelight at the time and it made it so that they could not read their memos.
No, that makes perfect sense, actually.
Can you believe that? 10 miles high in 1837.
Well, I especially think it's weird because that's like at least 13 kilometers.
Sorry, kilo... what?
Kilometers?
Canada facts.
I'm going to have to look that up later. Let's move on.
I'm actually an expert on kilometers. The kilometer is actually half a mile.
Joe, this isn't funny. All right. So, okay, so this is kind of a question.
This isn't Joe. This isn't funny. Sarah must be like, what is going, like, are they serious? Is Joe deeply offended right now?
Yeah, he's like, who are these bozos? What the fuck have I got myself into? No, okay. So in a world where, you know, the 20 to 30 minute video essay format, it's like it's almost comically oversaturated.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think sets your channel apart?
I think in particular, I like using the video essay format, not just to talk about like movies and TV shows, but also to kind of make broader like societal critiques of cultural phenomena in general. Because I feel like while we do have a massive saturation of people making video essays about like Marvel movies set to a lo-fi hip-hop soundtrack, I like to think that I'm making good cultural critiques of why we like things, why we engage with certain things, why certain industries are the way they are. And I like using the video essay format to do that.
So you blend a bit of cultural critique in there. You think that's the difference? Okay, that makes sense.
I didn't go to film school. I went to sociology school, so that's my background.
Oh, aren't you double majoring?
I am, yeah. Sociology and international relations.
Are you almost done? Are you?
Yeah, this is my final year, and then I'm probably going to go for a master's in political science. So still no film background, which is why I don't tend to talk about film in and of itself so much as like its societal implications. But, you know, I like having that perspective.
And you were the president of the debate team.
Yes.
And then you went on to the national team administration?
Yeah.
The national administration of debate?
Yeah, basically I was the president of my university society. And then there's an organization that basically governs all of the university debate societies and manages like who gets funding, how are title tournaments organized. And I'm one of the vice presidents for that now.
And you would just give funding to your friends, I assume, and family.
Oh, definitely.
Can I have funding if I started debate team?
If you started debate team in Canada, you absolutely can.
Do I need to have a location, or can I have a website and then you funnel some funds towards me?
I would have to say, I don't think we currently have anybody like embezzling money from us for some kind of online college, but I think that would be a very interesting scandal if it did happen, so I would encourage you to do it just for the drama of it all.
Sarah, I'm going to level with you. I want to open a cafe, and and I need money. I am desperate for funds.
Can you not advocate embezzlement on the show, Joe?
Just kidding. By the way, this podcast is sponsored by Amazon and Audible. We have to mention that at the beginning.
Okay.
It's sponsored by Audible, Amazon, and patrons like yourself. We'll talk a little bit more about that later.
You have an Audible sponsor, Sarah.
I do, yeah. Audible sponsored my video about Rebecca Black's Friday.
Yes, I was just watching that one right before this episode. You know, she was homeschooled during high school because of that video.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant because of my video. And I was like, what did I do? Oh, God.
No, because of her, her video.
Yeah.
You ruined her life.
I'm so sorry.
You ruined her life, Sarah.
I never meant to do this.
We actually had you on the show just so we could talk to you about how you ruined Rebecca.
Yeah, this is an intervention, by the way. Like, let's get to it.
Should have expected this.
Yeah.
If she was not homeschooled, she was in the district to go to my high school.
Oh.
Oh, interesting.
And, do you know her?
No, I don't know her. Oh, but okay. Apparently she went there for a week or two before being homeschooled. But I had just graduated and she was a freshman. So we were not there at the same time.
Interesting.
But it's possible in an alternate reality, me and Rebecca Black have some mutual friends. Well, that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
You guys could have been best friends.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it'd be kind of weird. I would have been like 18, 19. She would have been like 14. We're best friends.
That's a little bit.
Yeah, a little pushing it.
Yeah, but I mean, at this point, she would be in her mid-20s and you would be in your late 20s. So it's like, it's not weird now.
It's possible. Yeah, we maybe have some mutual friends.
I think you could be best friends with her. I think this can happen.
Run into each other on Facebook several years later. Like, I've graduated college. She's in college, or we're both in our 20s. Maybe, Lars.
Maybe.
Give it a shot.
Possibly. So, Sarah, what do you have any interesting stories from when you were debating? Either people who had like shitty debates, or like no debate skills, or they just resort to ad hominem right away and everyone laughs at them, or just, I don't know, anything that stands out?
Well, Yeah, in debate in Canada, there's two different debate formats, and we use a different format for the first semester and the second semester. So first semester is British parliamentary, and basically you have like a head judge at a tournament who decides all of the debate topics. The second semester is Canadian parliamentary, and the teams get to decide themselves what they're debating. So you come to the tournament with cases and ideas in mind for what you want to debate, and then you get to debate them. Which on one hand is good because you get a lot of fun and interesting topics, but on the other hand, you also get people bringing just absolutely buck wild cases to debate, especially like novices who don't know what is and isn't a good debate. So I had to judge one, I want to say last year, about whether Zeus from Greek mythology was, and I quote, the OG fuckboy.
The OG fuckboy.
The OG fuckboy.
That's funny. So you're judging these debates, and so people will bring topics to debate.
Yeah.
And one side will be prepared and the other side would not be prepared, I'm assuming, because they did not bring that topic.
That is correct. And basically you find out if you're on opposition what the debate topic is when the round starts. And the first person's speech is 7 minutes. So you have those 7 minutes while that person is speaking to prepare your case against it, which is very stressful, but
you cut out again. You said it's very stressful, but
very fun.
By the way, in the chat, somebody says, can I join? And then Raksha, one of our patrons, says, you realize this is a podcast recording, right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Every time we do this show, for some reason, like one person always says, can I join? Or I'm not going to be able to talk on this, even though, like, no, they weren't invited to.
That's kind of the idea, yeah.
Yeah. We can't just have everybody on to talk. Why can't I talk? I'm muted. How do I unmute?
Several dozen people just like yelling. Yeah.
Under communism, everyone is a podcast guest.
We also have every episode, we have somebody come on who's like, is the Senor Palo episode on right? Where's Palo? Oh, because like 6 months ago, we recorded with him and he posted a community post that people are still trickling and tweet. People are still trickling in waiting for his episode, but it came out like almost 6 months ago.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it is oddly impressive that people still manage to find their way on here through that and also miss the episode entirely. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, or they're like, oh, Palo's not here, I'm leaving. Like, okay, but did you want the it's produced though. Do you want the episode? Do you want to listen? They're gone by that.
They're just gone.
Not unless it's being recorded right now. Yeah. 6 months after it was announced.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Sarah, I've noticed a troubling lack of Garfield related content on your channel. Can you please explain?
I don't feel like I'm worthy to discuss Garfield. I think that's really the crux of it.
Are you changing the subject?
Yeah. Also, Sarah, Garfield is for everyone. He lives in all of our hearts. Anyone can talk about him. Everyone is qualified.
That's really encouraging.
As the nursery rhyme goes, Garfield, Garfield, in our heart and in our car. Garfield, Garfield, with him in your soul, you will go far.
Thank you for leading us in prayer.
The chat is mentioning, by the way, one of them says, God, Garfield is so hot. And how can Papal, how can people say really cringy stuff like that in the chat, Joe? How can they tune into these live?
Papal can say all the cringy stuff they want, Lars, if they just go to discord.t1podcast.com.
Discord.t1podcast.com is the link to tune into these episodes live. And if you really want to say some really cringy shit in the chat.
Like Garfield, Garfield, in our car. Garfield, Garfield, yes, you'll go far.
Joe, should we awkwardly transition into one of the sponsors?
You know, I noticed that we always do one of these things like Discord and then we do the another one right away. And by the time that one's over, they forgot about the first one. We need to give them time to trickle into the Discord. And then we let's do it in a couple minutes so that
now you're thinking with portals. Okay.
Yeah, we need to give it time to marinate.
Okay.
This place is fucking weird. Says somebody in the Discord. If you want to say cringeworthy stuff like that, discord.t1podcast.com.
Sarah, do you mind if I ask you kind of like a little bit more serious of a question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to give an analogy here. And I've noted that some of the more, I would say, liberal slanted channels like Quentin Reviews, for an example, who we've actually had on ourselves. So shout out to Quentin, but they tend to take, it seems like, a lot of shit for injecting just like a little bit of their ideology into their channel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I noticed when he said that he hated Trump on a video, that was somehow bad, and he's like still getting angry comments about it today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm curious, like, have you run into any of those kinds of problems yourself? And if so, what your experience was with it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've, you know, been particularly bashful about, you know, saying what my politics are. Like, my channel definitely takes kind of a left-leaning analysis on kind of pop culture and media. Yeah. I think the reason somebody like Quentin might have gotten more backlash than I might have for discussing it is because it wasn't expected.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's had his channel for a really long time, and a lot of it has been kind of pop culture criticism and commentary without mentions of politics. And I think because I've been pretty open from the start about, like, this is what my politics are, this is the social force I think is partially responsible for this problem, I haven't gotten that same degree of, why are you talking about this, than somebody who might be new to those incorporations might.
So, counterpoint, though, I feel like a lot of channels that are very open about that also tend to get a lot of shit. Like, I watch another channel called T1J, which mm-hmm. used to be known as The One Janitor.
Right.
And he's very, very open about his politics, but he still gets, like, massive comment wars in the comment section. So,
mm-hmm.
so you're saying that you don't?
I mean, I'm not going to say that I've never gotten particularly toxic comments. I think that when I do tend to get the worst comments, it's when people who aren't, it's when I look at the analytics of my videos, it's the ones where a lot of people who are watching the video aren't subscribed, and so they aren't used to that content. And so people are probably coming in from recommended videos, and they're seeing somebody saying this stuff, and they're like, what is this? You know, why are you talking about, I don't know, capitalism or whatever? And so I think T1J has a lot of really great reach on his channel. Like, his videos tend to get a lot of views, probably from people who aren't subscribed. So I think while that's really fantastic, and it's definitely a testament to how well he's been able to build his audience and be able to build engagement and clicks, it does mean that you're going to get a lot of people who aren't part of that core audience and who might not be as receptive to those ideas.
Okay.
That's just my take.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. It does make sense.
But thanks for the contribution, Joe. do you have anything substantive to add?
I have nothing else to add. I don't...
Yeah, okay.
It makes sense, you know? Do you have any pets?
Well, I have a cat back at home because I'm at university right now, but at home when I'm not, I have a cat. She's with my sister right now, but she's named Molly, and she's adorable, and I love her very much.
Did you name her after...
The drug?
The drug.
We did Molly's not. She was originally called Matilda, but we realized as soon as we adopted her that was one too many syllables and no one was calling her that. We just kept calling her like, hey, kitty, and stuff. So we wanted a name with a similar spirit, but that was less of a mouthful.
Ah. Would you have, if you got another cat, would you name it after a different drug? Like...
Joe, she said she didn't do that.
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Well, maybe a white cat, like cocaine or something.
Not Snowball.
I was thinking something like Datura might be, you know, vague enough that people who aren't intimately familiar with the drug might just think it's, you know, an obscure name.
Oh, just name it Addy.
There we go.
Or just dye the cat's fur green and call it marijuana.
Oh, man. What have we turned into, Lars?
What are we talking about? This is nonsense.
We used to have... you know, state senators on.
We actually did, yeah.
Now we're talking about dyeing a cat green and naming it marijuana.
As one does.
Yeah.
We have really divulged.
Yeah. And speaking of which, Joe.
Speaking of which, Lars.
I think we should talk about our sponsor, Amazon.
And you know, I couldn't agree more.
This is kind of unfortunate because for Canadian listeners who might tune into this, because this will not work for you guys, but for our American listeners, you should check out the website amazon.t1podcast.com. And Joe, why should someone do that?
Amazon.t1podcast.com is really the exact same as amazon.com, but you'll be using our affiliate link to support your brothers from other mothers, Lars and Joe.
That's really confusing. Are you talking about us or?
Okay. Yeah, cut that out.
All right.
You should use amazon.t1podcast.com if you plan to shop on Amazon. And you want to support the show.
Yeah. Guys, you were already going to shop on Amazon.
I mean, yeah.
You probably shop there today, like, or at least within the last week. And if you want to help support the show by doing so, it doesn't cost you any extra money other than what you are already going to spend. Amazon.t1podcast.com helps support the show.
Amazon.t1podcast.com.
You cannot buy the podcast on there, but you can tune in at discord.t1podcast.com.
Sarah, you are a prominent member of the Gothic community, which I just made up.
I am?
Which from my memory,
Sarah,
I recall
you're being a very good sport, by the way, to Joe's bullshit here.
This is great news. I had no idea I was a prominent member of this newly invented community. Tell me more.
So I particularly am an expert in the Gothic community in Canada and also America. And so as I, you know, go to the clubs, they say, Sarah Zed, when's she going to be a part of this community? We want Sarah Zed. And I said, I'll have her on the show shortly. I would be happy to share this information with her. So you've got millions and billions of fans across the globe.
Wow.
In the Gothic community.
This is fantastic news. I will have to find some way to get my message out to the Gothic community and let them know I'm ready to join my brethren.
I could send a message for them. I would be happy to do that.
Oh, please do.
I wish I had billions of fans. That would be great.
Sarah, do you have anything to say to your billions of fans in the Gothic community throughout the world?
Yes, I do. Hey. That's it.
Oh, okay. I thought there was more to that.
We should put in like roaring applause, like cheers after that.
Well, people are already going to applaud her when they hear that anyway, so they can do that in the audience.
Okay, if you're listening to this episode, just clap.
Please clap.
Please clap.
Yeah, please stand for applause for our wonderful Canadian guest, Sarah Zed.
In Canada, do you do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Well, that's a pledge to the American flag, so right. Yes, absolutely, all the time.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't do that?
Well,
or you said you do.
We used to not, but after 9/11, they said they wouldn't speak with us anymore unless we pledged allegiance to the American flag, and so now we do it in every province except Quebec.
Oh, why not Quebec?
It's Quebec. They don't.
Yeah, it's Quebec.
They don't do anything we do.
Okay.
Shots fired.
Are you French?
Joe, you've been asking a lot of dumb questions. Can I take over? For
yeah, of course. Yeah.
I'm not French, no. I speak French, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oui.
Oui.
That proves it.
Omelette du fromage.
Omelette du fromage.
All right.
There we go.
All right, go ahead, Lars. Did you have a serious question?
I mean, I have more questions. Some are more serious than others. I can get into them.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay.
No, please ask me more about what drugs I'd like to name my pets after.
Better you than me at this point, Lars. I'm just going to keep asking about, like... Yeah, the cats and.
Do you ever just watch an H Bomber Guy video and like have a sudden impulse to want to like comb his hair? I don't know if he owns a comb. I'm concerned.
I'll ask him
whenever I watch. Oh,
if he owns a comb.
Oh, you can ask him personally. Okay.
Well, we've spoken, so I could technically do that.
Okay, I really like H Bomber Guy.
Yeah, no, I really like his videos. They're great.
And you're. You're expecting to continue to speak with him?
Joe, what is going on with you today? I don't understand.
What? I'm having a conversation, Lars. Would you quit criticizing my abilities to converse? And maybe I would produce something a little more noteworthy for the show.
Well, historically, this episode, it hasn't shown, but that's fine.
This episode is going to go down in history as one of our greatest, Lars.
Oh, yeah, the chat saying it's shy because it's a female guest. That makes sense. Okay.
I'm not shy because I'm talking to a female guest, Lars. Sarah, you have to know I'm not shy because you're a woman.
Okay.
I can talk to women. All right.
Okay.
Joe, I feel like the more you keep saying that, the more no one's going to believe it.
No, I'm just kidding.
You can't talk to women.
No, I can. That whole thing was just a gag.
Okay.
No, I see.
By saying it, it's like, oh, I doth protest too much.
We should ban stupid questions for the next 25 minutes and actually, like, get some substance here. What do you think, Joe?
Yes.
Okay, so, Sarah, I feel like I can clearly see where some of your influences lie.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm curious, like, where do you directly pull from?
Definitely essayists like Lindsay Ellis, I would call an inspiration for sure. Mm-hmm. Some of my style of just kind of chilling and relaxing and not being too overproduced, I would definitely say that I pull from people like Jenny Nicholson.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like I do try to take influence not just from YouTube, but like a lot of the stuff that I've learned in university from like my sociology background. Like, I've read a lot of really interesting work that I've tried to bring with me, not necessarily in like the way I present it, but in like what I hear and what I find interesting and how I try to do analysis. But in terms of YouTube influences, I would definitely have to say like Lindsay Ellis is the biggest one.
I find it interesting how Lindsay Ellis has kind of come out the other end of a group which turned out not to be so great, but like really kind of evolved over time and became kind of like a really matured creator at this point. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting to watch.
Yeah, no, I really like her stuff.
Whereas it seems like most of the other people from that group turned out to be kind of bad people or just like bad commentators.
Oh, Channel Awesome people? Yeah.
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 I have a very notable dislike for Doug Walker.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair.
Something that all three of us have in common is that we all have a familiarity with My Immortal.
Ooh.
My Immortal is the greatest work of fiction of all time. I love it.
We used to read a couple chapters each episode.
Yeah, we used to do that live on air, just like do a dramatic reading.
And you're not anymore? This is criminal.
Should we bring this segment back and read like a random chapter?
Yes.
I'm kind of leaning towards yes.
I mean, do you have it prepared, Joe, or what?
No, but we could bring it up really fast. The only question, Sarah, do you have a favorite chapter?
I can't say that I do. I think I love all parts of it, just as I love it as a whole.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you were saying I can't say that I do because it's a terrible piece of fiction.
No, it's the greatest work of fiction of all time.
Okay, guys, if you're listening in the audience, by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about, My Immortal is, well, just objectively, it's a Harry Potter fan fiction, and oh man, it's like the cringiest thing I think I've ever read. It's written from the perspective of like a 13-year-old goth girl, kind of back in like the early 2000s, and the main character's name is, I think it's
Ebony Darkness Dementia Ravenway.
Let's, yeah.
I just kind of chose a chapter at random. Chapter 11 seems like
chapter
a good one.
Chapter 11. Work. Okay.
Yeah, I posted a link in the recording chat.
Got it.
So there's three of us. How are we going to do this? One of us could do the narration and one of us could do... Are there multiple characters in here?
My friend Emily is in the chat. She actually read a passage from My Immortal in my most recent video.
Ooh.
Hi, Emily.
Are we doing this or should we move on, Joe?
Well, it's up to you, Lars. I'll let you decide.
You're the one with a passion for it, so I'm going to let you decide.
Why don't I do the narration, and Sarah, you can do the voices?
Sure.
And since Lars is not impassioned by this, he can fuck off for this segment.
All right, I'll see you guys later.
All right. Are you ready?
Okay.
Let's just do the first couple paragraphs, just to give them a taste.
Okay.
Let's not do the whole chapter. Unless you want me to do the voices and you want to.
I'm really okay either way.
All right. Whenever you're ready.
You're not going to do the author's note?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry, of course.
Oh, never mind. I don't trust Joe on air by himself yet. I'm gonna stick around.
Okay. Author's note. Right. I said stop flaming up, plebs. See if this chapter is stupid. It deals with really serious issues. See for yourself if it is stupid. Thanks to my friend Raven for helping me.
No!
I screamed. I was horrified. Bloody Mary.
Says that you scream, so it's got to be like a bloodthirsty like howl.
I don't think my microphone gain is low enough for that.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
I screamed. I was horrified. Bloody Mary tried to comfort me, but I told her fuck off and I ran to my room crying myself. Dumbledore chased after me, shouting, but he had to stop when I went into my room because he would look like a perv that way. Anyway, I started crying tears of blood and then I slit both my wrists. It got all over my clothes, so I took them off and jumped into the bath angry, while I put a Linkin Park song at full volume.
It's so bad.
I grabbed a stake and almost stuck it into my heart to commit suicide. I was so fucking depressed. I got out of the bathtub and put on a black low-cut dress with lace all over it sandly. I put on black high heels with pink metal stuff on the end and six pairs of skull earrings. I couldn't fucking believe it. Then I looked out the window and screamed. Snap was spying on me and he was taking a videotape of me. And Lupin was masticating to it. They were sitting on their broomsticks.
Hey, you fucking purse! Stop leaving me naked! Are you pedos or what?
I screamed, putting on a black towel with a picture of Marilyn Manson on it. Suddenly, Vampire ran in.
Abracadabra.
This should be our last paragraph.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like, it's just painful to listen to and to read, but... Yeah, guys, go check out My Immortal if you're not familiar with it. And
MyImmortal.fandom.com.
Be prepared for something not of this earth.
I promise we're not sponsored by them, but it's...
We're not sponsored by My Immortal?
No. Okay. Anyway, thanks, Sarah. You're a good sport. I just wanted to bring... This is honestly so bad. Let's talk about My Immortal for a second. There are spelling mistakes everywhere. She did not hit F7 when she was typing this up. And there's no character development. And it's just awful. It is just awful.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. Unlike your channel, Sarah, which is awesome.
Thanks.
One might almost call it channel awesome.
Oh, my God. Right. Yeah, I assume your next guest is going to be Doug Walker.
Oh, God.
Sarah, you had, just out of curiosity, this is kind of an interesting topic. You had mentioned that people are asking you if they go to an Indian wedding that they are invited to, can they wear henna?
Oh, sorry, what? People have been asking me that?
Well, I think so. In one video you had mentioned, maybe not you, but people are asking about, is it cultural appropriation to wear henna to an Indian wedding that they're invited to?
Oh, I think I might have like made an offhand mention of that, yeah. No, definitely. I think, like, as long as something is done with invitation and respect, I think, I don't know, I feel like respect in general is the key aspect of anything like that.
Would you err on the side of caution, though? Because if you don't know what the rules are,
well,
it's better to...
Joe, I think that respect is mm-hmm. caution in that
mm-hmm.
sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Also, I kind of feel like this is more of a debate in certain niche circles mm-hmm. as opposed to being like a widespread like issue.
Well,
I feel like most people have a good sense in their head about like, they don't necessarily think that just participating in someone else's culture is bad. Like I wouldn't go that far.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I feel like it's more of an issue when people are like profiting off of it in a way, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, like, for example, like, closing out somebody's, like, Chinese restaurant and, like, buying up the space to be like, here's the better version, or, you know, stuff like that. I think just participating and engaging in other people's cultures with, like, invitation and respect is, I think, something pretty universally accepted as good, I should hope.
Did you watch South Park growing up?
I did not really. I remember one of my friends in middle school would show me videos of South Park on, like, his iPod Touch. Because I remember he found the Canada episode really funny, so we watched that, like, probably five times over the course of five different recesses, but I never really watched the show religiously growing up.
What about Family Guy or any of these other shows that are making fun of people, but they make fun of everybody equally, you could say?
I haven't actually seen Family Guy either.
But you know what it's about, right? It's making fun of various people and groups of people, I guess, and...
Mm-hmm. No, like, I understand the general premise, yeah.
That show has not aged very well, by the way. Like, it's kind of... it feels so outdated today. I don't recommend people watch it. But I had an observation, though. I've noticed when I've traveled, I was very fortunate, by the way, because my my mom used to work for the airlines, and so we would get to go to places for cheap. And I noticed that in most cases, people, they did ask for respect, of course, but they really wanted to share their culture wherever I would travel. They would want me to participate in what they were doing, and they'd want me to purchase things like artifacts from their culture and stuff. So I don't know. I feel like it's really more a situation where culture inherently wants to expand to different groups. I don't really know where I'm going with
That's an interesting point, Lars.
Yeah.
I didn't know your mom worked for the airlines.
Yeah, she used to.
Wendy worked for the airlines?
Yeah. It was one of those situations where we could get like $20 plane tickets just to go to New York or something.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Not to derail.
What do you mean not to derail?
What do you mean? She wasn't working on a train. Okay, what is that picture of Doug Walker in the chat?
That's a picture of Doug Walker in the chat that seems to be made to look a little bit holy or something.
All pictures of Doug Walker are holy.
Oh, God.
Something of a halo around him.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Don't love it.
I do not love that. But what I do love, Joe, is Audible.
Audible?
Audible. Joe, can we talk about Audible for a second?
Yes, of course we could talk about Audible for a second. Or like a minute.
Yeah, let's talk about it for about a minute.
Well, 1 minute. Audible is basically a way to get audiobooks straight to your phone. It's a subscription service, so you get multiple of these a month, and you can listen to these books when you're in the car, when you're in the shower. You don't want to be reading in the car. You don't want to be reading in the shower.
Yeah, you really don't want to take a book into the shower. That would be a bad idea.
Yeah, it'd be weird.
Audible is the solution for people in the shower and more. Audible has a proposition for you. They want to give you a free book on our behalf. And the only thing you need to do in exchange is sign up for their free 30-day trial.
Free trial, free book. Where can they do that, Lars?
They can go to audibletrial.com/T1podcast. Get a free book on our behalf. Keep it even if you cancel the service. But if you like what you see, they have very affordable monthly rates. Joe, I don't know about you, but I have no time to actually read physical books.
I have no time either. Do you shower, Lars?
Yes, I do.
Then Audible is for you.
It is. Yeah, Audible actually helps me be able to consume books on the go. And it also helps me be able to consume books when I'm doing other tasks. It's a really great service. I highly recommend it for people like us who just, you know, we're working full time, running a podcast or doing whatever it is you do. Go to audibletrial.com/T1podcast.
All right. I think it's been about a minute.
Yeah, that's going to do it for the ads on this episode, except for the Patreon later, I guess.
Sarah, do you have like a favorite audiobook that you've listened to?
I remember I recommended Good Omens on my last video, and that was a really good one. I really enjoyed it a lot, especially with the series coming out. You know, there's a lot of stuff that didn't make its way into the show, and if you enjoyed the series, it's a good book.
Well, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, no, it's good.
What about the novelization of Space Jam?
There's a novelization of Space Jam?
I have no idea. I'm going to look that up.
There has to be a novelization of Space Jam.
Lars, now you're the one derailing us and making stuff up. You're the Joe of the podcast now.
There is. There's a novelization of Space Jam in 1996.
Let's look this up and talk about this for a second.
Oh, it's not in audiobook format, though.
What's it called? Space Jam 6?
No, Space Jam, a novelization. That's amazing. I kind of want to get this. I won't have time to read it, though. It's on sale for $1.
And it got 4.2 out of 5 stars on A-Books.
Well, someone said in the chat that they've owned that book. Interesting. Okay.
I'm just going to read the synopsis. Bugs Bunny has gotten himself and his friends, including Daffy Duck, Sylvester, Tweety, and Wile E. Coyote, into a real jam. There's only one man who can guarantee their win in a critical game against a crew of space creatures. The greatest athlete ever, Michael Jordan. 8-page color photo insert.
Whatever happened to Space Jam 2? Wasn't there supposed to be a sequel?
Oh, Space Jam 2 Electric Boogaloo? Yeah, I think they canned it because Bugs Bunny was doing some hard drugs.
No, but like, really, though, like what? Wasn't it supposed to be with LeBron James or something?
I don't know.
Or am I completely misremembering this?
I think you're thinking of Air Bud 2.
Air Bud? No, that's the dog.
Yeah, that's what you're thinking of.
LeBron James did not star as the dog. Wait, did he?
Hold on, let's take a look.
Sorry, Sarah, we're just going on a million rabbit trails.
Call out a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Air Bud, there was an Air Bud 2, Air Bud Golden Receiver, and it came out in 1998. No. I'm going to read the synopsis for this just to give everyone a good idea.
No, Joe, no, Space Jam 2, it says in the chat, it's coming in 2021.
Oh.
And it has LeBron James and Don Cheadle.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you watch Breaking Bad?
No, I'm sorry. I don't watch a lot of stuff, to be honest.
What about Malcolm in the Middle?
Nope.
Simpsons.
Sarah, just list off all the shows you've seen, basically, is what we're saying.
Okay. Nostalgia Critic?
Oh.
Yeah, that's about it.
Well, that is the best one.
Nostalgic Critic.
It's a pretty obscure one, but it was my whole childhood.
Joe, do you know who we're talking about when we talk about Nostalgia Critic?
Yeah, Nostalgia Critic is an American review comedy web series.
So, no, you don't. Okay.
No, I know Nostalgia Critic. He talks about old things.
Oh, Sarah, did you see his parody
thing of the wall?
With the wall? Oh, my God.
It's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, okay. So, Joe, have you listened to The Wall?
I don't think so.
By Pink Floyd?
Yes, of course.
Okay, yeah, no, like, super important seminal album for rock music, and so,
yeah.
Nostalgia Critic, like, he released this album this year where he just, like, completely misses the point of Pink Floyd, like, what they were trying to say, and it's, like, super cringy and really disrespectful to it, and, yeah, that's what we're referring to when we talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
You play any video games, Sarah?
I like Stardew Valley a lot.
Oh, Stardew Valley is
it's really
pretty,
nice.
Pretty good. What part are you up to? Like, what do you?
I'm on my second winter.
Ah, I have not gotten that far. I played it for several weeks last year, earlier this year sometime. I think I got a couple seasons in, but yeah, it's a good one. We invited the creator onto the show. But he didn't have time. But maybe one day.
Oh, Concerned Abe?
Yes.
I really enjoy the game. There's a new update coming up soon, 1.4, which I think there's going to be, like, I think you're going to be able to, like, farm fish in it. And I think they're going to add some new post-game content. And people are speculating that because your kids, if you have children in Stardew Valley, can't currently be older than toddlers, there's people speculating that they might be able to grow up in the game, which is very exciting.
That's pretty cool. That's like... The Sims, generations maybe go by?
Yeah, I don't really know the full extent of what the update's going to be like, but I'm very excited for it.
Do characters die in Stardew Valley?
In Stardew, no. You're just kind of always yourself, and the townspeople don't really age, to my knowledge. However, if you have children and you don't like them, you can turn them, there's a witch in town, and you can quote-unquote turn them into doves, which is a very interesting euphemism for kill them, I suppose.
What if you could have kids, and they grow up and have kids for, like, 10 generations, and now you've got your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids, and you're still just there, the same age? That'd be pretty fun. And then you turn them all into doves, and they...
Joe, just go play The Sims at that point.
And then you just turn them all into doves, and you have doves all across the sky.
By the way, I haven't played this game, so I have, like, nothing to add to this. I kind of have an understanding that it's supposedly like Harvest Moon.
Yes.
I haven't played Harvest Moon, but I have heard that as well.
Okay.
You run a little farm in this small town, and there's also little caves nearby with monsters and zombies and cool things
to
explore.
Your grandpa's old farm.
Yes. You get tired of the pressures of modern life, and... You know, you just grow some vegetables and fish and explore some caves with swords and have a good time, which, to be honest, that's kind of everyone's life fantasy, I think.
Do you guys remember when Farmville was popular and then old people would be like...
Oh, God.
Boomers would be like...
I used to get so many invitations on Facebook to join people's Farmville.
I know. It was horrible. That was 2009. That was what 2009 to 2011 was.
There was like a moral panic, I remember, of people getting addicted to Farmville. It was a whole thing.
Yeah. And you'd have the boomers that were like, why don't you just have a farm in real life? Okay, first of all,
boomer.
I don't own land. Where am I going to have the farm? In my tiny backyard in my apartment? What do you think of the phrase, okay, boomer?
I mean, from an actual practical sense, like, I know boomer doesn't literally mean, like, somebody who is bad and bigoted, especially because, like, the actual problem isn't that they're old, but I also just kind of do love it as a simple response to shut people down who just say stupid shit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, is OK Boomer the deepest level of political analysis we can get to? No. Is it an absolutely hilarious thing to say when you're not interested in a lengthy debate with, like, your 64-year-old racist uncle when he posts shitty things on Facebook? Yes.
Well, I think it's kind of one of those situations where it may not seem very deep on the surface, but what's really going on there is you've already tried to communicate and like explain stuff, and it
and
just
they're not listening, so it's just like, okay, boomer.
Just okay, boomer. It's like it's not even worth it at this point.
Or they say something that's not really worth addressing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Okay, boomer.
It's a dismissive way, but some people are saying that I saw this this meme where it was like, boomers will be like, this is the start of this is the end of civil intergenerational discourse. But then it's like, millennials are snowflakes.
They're killing diamonds industries. They're destroying marriage.
Did you guys see that tweet the other day about that guy who was trying to claim that, like, boomer is the new N-word?
Oh, God.
I saw that. I thought that was like a joke.
No,
it's like that John Mulaney quote where it's like,
if you're comparing the badness of two words and you won't even say one of them, that's the worst word.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
Also, it's funny because, like, that generation, the name for it is baby boomer. Like, that's, it's not.
Yeah.
There's nothing inherently insulting about it. It's just like, it, some people do use it that way. It's like the word, like, Jewish is not offensive.
No, it's not even offensive to say, like, he's a Jew. People will think to call someone a Jew is offensive. Like, that's a descriptive term.
Yeah, so to compare it to the N-word is just, like, wildly inappropriate.
Yeah, that weaken, that weakens it. The,
yeah.
Like, to, that's offensive to.
Yeah. You know. Yeah, it ignores a lot of the cultural context of that yes. the other term. There.
Anyway.
I think context is always important. Like, things can be rude, not because of the words themselves, but because of, like, the context in which they're used, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, you could make up a completely nonsense insult, but you could say it in such a way that it would be, like, a rude thing to say.
Oh, can you go ahead and do that?
Like, for example, if you just made up some random thing that sounded like a slur, like, which I hope isn't a real thing, because I hope it's just something I made up just now.
Oh, no, we got to kick her off the podcast now. Oh, my God.
And if you, like, randomly went up to someone and you're like, how are you doing, like, it's not an actual offensive word, but in a certain context, it can still be, you know, treated that way, right? So I think just being mm-hmm. respectful is an important thing, regardless of, you know, whether a specific term is inherently offensive. That being said, I feel like OK Boomer, while it's not the greatest level of political analysis we can be engaging in, is probably fine in most contexts.
I had a friend who, he's older, in his 60s, I think, and years ago, a few decades ago, he was working, and...
Wait, is this a family friend?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because it's a little weird, like, you just have a 60-year-old friend.
No, family friend.
Unusual? So, okay.
Basically, what happened, apparently there's this Indonesian word, jambut, which means pubic hair, and they would use it as a greeting every time they came into work. They go, jambut, jambut. And then the manager found out that it meant, like, that something other than hello. And they're like, what are you saying? Like, someone complained, some Indonesian guy or something like that. And he was like, are you guys using a word that doesn't mean hello? No, it means hello. As far as I know, it means hello. So we use it and it means hello. And that, but it really meant pubic hair the whole time.
God.
So they were greeting each other using jambut. It was funny to hear that. I wasn't there. I wasn't born yet. But
so that was a Joe story. We're pretty used to those on the podcast. It doesn't really go anywhere and doesn't really make a point, but it's
yeah, the
just...
25 minutes is up, so I can tell my Joe stories again.
Oh, God. Oh, by the way, Sarah, how are you doing mm-hmm. for time? Are we at a point where we need to cut it off, or are we good to go for a while?
I think I can be maybe another 5 or so minutes.
Oh, okay.
Maybe 10. Like, I do have stuff to get to after this, but I'm not, like, I don't have to be out the door immediately.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh,
the chat is asking, by the way, what is your opinion on trains?
Best mode of transport. They're absolutely fantastic. I love trains, and I heavily endorse trains in all of their forms. And Scooby asks how much I wish I was a train from 1 to 10. 11.
Well, it's only 1 to 10.
Like, you want to physically be a train?
I just love trains.
Oh, okay.
I think they're beautiful.
Did you hear about this intercontinental railroad from Canada, through Canada, from Alaska to the United States? The brand new. They're building this right now. Did you hear about this?
I did not.
There's going to be a new train.
Are you making that up, Joe?
No, it's
love that.
It's going to be a brand new train. I'm not making this up. What's your opinion on boars?
Like the animal?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, I read a lot of Asterix when I was younger, and I remember they would always hunt and eat wild boars, and there was always a feast at the end of the comic where they were eating a boar. So I always thought that they looked really delicious, but I didn't understand why people in real life thought they were so scary, because in the comics, they just hunted them down and ate them, and it was no big deal. And then I saw a picture of an actual wild boar, because I was always reading, like, oh, they killed people. And I have a very mixed perceptions of boars growing up because of these conflicting messages, but I still think they look delicious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of our previous guests has actually had boar because he's from Thailand, and he says they're pretty tasty.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you say? They taste like pork?
Yeah. Salty. He said similar to
beef,
pig.
I thought. Tasted like beef.
Interesting.
Well, he said it was like a mix between beef and pork.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it doesn't sound bad.
Which do you feel describes you more accurately, Texan or Irish?
Well, I'm from Alberta, Canada, so I'm going to say Texan because we've regularly been compared to, like, the Texas of Canada because of the oil and cowboy culture. So I think, in a way, maybe I am a little Texan.
I'm getting more of an Irish vibe from you, to be honest.
An Irish vibe. Interesting.
Yeah.
Lars, let her be in charge of how she wants to classify as Texan or Irish.
I'm getting Irish vibes, man. It's undeniable.
Lars, yes? Asked her a question if she's more Texan or Irish, and she gave us her answer.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
All right,
we can move on.
Do you have any questions for us?
It's okay if you don't. That's really putting you on the spot.
Would you rather fight one audible-sized curiosity stream or 50 curiosity stream-sized audibles?
What's a curiosity stream?
Damn. I mean, they're not sponsoring me for this podcast, so that I'm going to end my question at that.
Well, I would just prefer any situation in which there's more Audible, because Audible is a great company, and you should go to audibletrial.com/T1podcast to get your free audiobook today.
And if somebody wanted to check out your stuff, where can they go to do that, Sarah?
Oh, yes.
So I'm at youtube.com/C/SarahZed. If you just Google Sarah Zed, you'll find my channel. And I'm also on a Dungeons & Dragons podcast called Trials and Trebuchets, and you can find our social media for that at Trials and Trebs.
And for the American listeners, Zed is actually just Z here, so don't be confused by the Zed.
Yeah, it's not Z-E-D.
It's just the letter. It's just the last letter in the alphabet.
That's right.
Can they find you if they type out Z-E-D, or is that not?
Actually, so there's a different YouTuber whose name is Sarah Zedig. Who sometimes goes by Sarah, like Zed. So if you type that out, you might find her instead, which, to be fair, is not a bad thing because she makes very good videos, but you might not find the results you're looking for. So just the letter.
Have you ever considered suing her for copyright infringement at that point? Because that's kind of that's really dirty tactics.
I mean, it's her name. That's her name.
Yeah, I guess.
When I was doing some preliminary research on you, Sarah, like a month ago or whenever we first were going to have you on, I did come across Sarah Zedig's content.
Oh, yeah. No, good stuff. Really good channel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Joe has a habit of researching the wrong guest from time to time when he does that.
Sometimes we had on a guest that was called Nicktendo, and I spent all day watching all the videos of the wrong Nicktendos.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's two large YouTubers named Nicktendo, and he picked the wrong one, and the wrong one turned out to be kind of racist.
That's impressive that they both managed to get large with each other's names, though.
Yeah. I know, it's...
I mean, maybe it helped them.
Maybe.
Weird SEO there.
Yeah, because someone was trying to search for one of them, and then... Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
I don't know.
Oh, quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Why Mary Sue Ryder?
Oh God, I think I made that username like years ago. It was kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing. Like, I don't know, I saw a lot of characters get called Mary Sues, and I just thought the whole concept was a little bit nebulous and silly, and so it was just sort of a tongue-in-cheek joke about that. I might make a video about it eventually, I don't know.
Was Sarah Zed taken? Did you ever actually look into that?
I'm sure it's taken. Sarah Zed? Yeah, there's no way it wouldn't be.
Okay.
Maybe I could find somebody and, like, pay them for the domain, but I'm fine with this.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take one last question from the chat. They're saying, do you have any wax-related... What is this question, by the way?
I understand this. So, the people on Trials and Trebuchets, we have, like, as a bit that we've created a second podcast that's just about wax called Wax On, Wax Off, which you can't actually find on the internet anywhere. It's just kind of an in-joke within the podcast, but technically, if you listen to Trials and Trebuchets, you might also get some wax-related content.
Okay. Oh, so it's just an inside joke on the podcast. That makes sense. We've got plenty of those.
We have our own second podcast that one of our moderators, Ken, created on his own fruition.
Yeah. Just
called the second podcast. Because we're the first podcast. He calls it the second podcast.
Right.
And that's it.
That's the end of that. Okay.
That's great.
All right. So... thank you, and I'm sorry that you had to come on the show. That was kind of an interesting bag of topics. And
this has been our best episode, Lars.
All right,
I'm very happy with this episode.
I mean, it was the Sarah parts were nice, but yeah, let's go ahead and close things out, Joe.
When we were reading the story and talking about the stories, it was great, yes. Lars. It was a great time.
Joe!
All right.
If people have been tuning in for a while and wanted to help support the show, how can they go ahead and do that?
One easy way is to go to patreon.com/T1podcast. Join our $2 tier and you'll receive you'll receive bonus episodes whenever the show is... Sorry, let me start over.
God!
One
Jesus.
Easy way to
Here, I'll do it. Okay. Guys, join our $2 tier on Patreon today if you want to get access to bonus episodes of the show, as well as hear early releases of all the episodes as soon as they're done editing, such as this one with Sarah Zed and others. We have a patron-only Discord channel as well, where we make fun of the regular fans, and you get a special title or a special role on the server. Also, $10 patrons. By the way, some of you guys need to turn in your dramatic readings. We do shoutouts and dramatic readings on air. Or the $10 tier and more. Patreon.com/T1podcast helps support the show and you get a lot of cool benefits. Joe, if people wanted to wear the podcast, what's the best way to do that?
Merch.T1podcast.com.
Yes. God damn, Joe. Like, can you actually like try here? This is us trying to, you know.
No, I know, but I
Merch.T1podcast.com. Gets you lots of cool stuff like mugs, phone cases, shirts, even a picture of a coffee table for some reason, because that was requested. I am not sure why. This has been the first podcast, but it won't be the last. We'll see you again next time. Thanks again for coming on, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Sarah. It has been a great time. Despite what Lars would say, I have had a great time talking to you, and I think this will go down in history as one of our best episodes. Lars?
Yes?
So thank you for coming on.
I think there's some unresolved tension here.
Oh, no, this is just us giving each other shit.
I know.
Okay. Oh, man.
All right, all right. Let's do
another mic. Another charm. Clap sync.
3, 2, 1. All right.
That's good enough.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.